This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Thursday, 2nd of June, 2022, and we had a very interesting set of economic data points, or at least one economic data point that I think set the market on edge yesterday. Ironically, for equities, it was a good data point, meaning higher yields, meaning lower equities. We're in that kind of upside down world again, where it's about the yields, maybe not necessarily the strength of the economy. So the ISM manufacturing out at above 56.1, or at 56.1 above the prior reading, and that was expected to drop to below the prior reading from April. So that helped to juice yields, which were back towards 3% for the 10-year. And we saw the dollar pushing back higher. Again, very yield sensitive. And we saw equities rolling over. It's not a terribly aggressive move just yet. And I have some other perspectives showing that we're very far from being under strain in terms of risk conditions. But I guess that's the focus for equity traders, Peter, is the situation with the yields.
Yeah, it has grabbed the attention because we'll talk about it later in the podcast. But we actually had some good news on in technology stocks yesterday. You could also see on slide two, you know, the bubble stock segment were doing quite well. I'll get back to why that was the case. But the overall, the more mature part of the market, the NASDAQ 100 was more muted. As you can see on slide two, it declined. And as you correctly pointed out, you had that increasing yield pressure on technology stocks. And that was despite, better than expected ISM manufacturing, pretty strong euro growth indicator in Europe. So as we talked about in our internal call, John, as Steen has also pointed out, our CIO, I mean, the coincident indicators, the economic growth picture right now is still extremely strong. It's also the echo from Delta Airlines CEO, but I will talk a little bit about that later in the podcast. I'm a little bit worried here about where we are going. I don't have a strong direction where we'll go to test new highs. I'm still leaning towards it. We'll fade this recent rebound a little bit lower, and I'm just basically looking for some guidance. I don't have a very strong conviction on where equities are going here short term, but I have a stronger conviction when we talk about the tier two and tier three technology companies. But we'll get back to that.
Yeah, just to highlight what's going on yesterday. So, and actually the bigger picture, because that's what is really important here is, are we going to new highs in the longer end of the yield curve that will have big implications? And I put in a very long yield chart on slide three, the 10-year going all the way back to the early 1980s, just to show in the perspective that you see that trend and it's sort of sloping off or curving around, obviously in part because it's almost should have been logarithmically adjusted to a degree. But if we do poke above that 3.26% high from 2018, it would be a more than 10-year high in yields, something we have not seen since 1981. And dollar yen, as we see on the right there on slide three, jumping higher. And it, to me, the move looks almost more aggressive than what we're seeing in yields. So just the Japanese yen seems to be hypersensitive to general shifts in yields. And I think that looks like it's going to remain the case until the Bank of Japan is seen as softening its stance on yield curve control. And I just want to point out in the background, so we talked about this little comeback in yields yesterday, but financial conditions and the sort of our general risk, market risk indicator, one of the ones we look at is one we created, and you can see it on slide four, the global risk indicator. It's sort of based on standard deviation observations around a moving average. It's not an absolute level, so it just gives you a sense of direction and relative bad or goodness relative to the recent past. But you can see these have been easing quite aggressively from the lows a few weeks back. And that's everything from market volatility itself. Peter, the VIX is close to 6-week lows, I believe it was, or at least multi-week lows, despite this little bit of choppiness we've had last couple of days. FX volatility has faded. Corporate credit spreads, we discussed that yesterday, have come in much tighter in recent days. So it's just, nobody's fearing the Fed right now, at least in terms of the implications into the market, despite this little jump in yields here. But interesting to see if we are going to pivot there if we get strong data through tomorrow's ISM services and the payrolls and earnings report. Before I discuss FX, we have Olet with us live from Limassol in Cyprus. we're looking forward very much to a OPEC meeting because I think one thing that has eased the market's fear levels a little bit, if to say the least, I would guess, is that massive hit to crude oil prices on this news that OPEC is supposedly ginning up the ability to ignore Russia's contribution to the OPEC plus quotas because of the whole situation with the war. So what's the latest there, and what are you anticipating today?
Yeah, and just to clarify, I'm not on holiday, so I'm actually to see visit clients, so and do some presentations. So so you shouldn't feel too good for me. Anyway, yeah, that's we had another break in the piece in the, to the puzzle today with the FT reporting that Saudi Arabia, as you can see on slide one, that's the headline: Saudi Arabia ready to pump more oil if Russian output sinks under the ban. By saying the ban, they're probably referring to the ban that's been introduced by Europe, which obviously won't really start to kick in for another few months. Well, not really until towards the late the latter part of the year. So it's interesting to see how what kind of impact it will have. I think as I highlighted in my piece yesterday about the elephant in the room being Russian and their inability to meet their production targets right now. Whether the OPEC knows full well that it's easier to control prices when they're going up. When they're going down, it's a different story. And that's not the situation they want to get into. They don't want to get into a situation where prices basically get to the point where we fall off a cliff in terms of economic activity, and then suddenly we'll find themselves in a painful process of potentially having to reduce production at a time where revenues are falling at the same time. So I think it's just sending out a signal. Also, we know that Biden is potentially visiting Saudi Arabia for the first time in his presidency. I think there's a lot of politics here, and whether it's going to have an impact on the market anytime soon, I remain skeptical on that. We've seen Brent drop back down below 115, still holding above the 200-day moving average. So I think the outlook for today's meeting is basically that they will ratify the continued production increases. And we know by now that they are trailing by a total of around 2.5 million barrels if we include Russia. So they're well below what their own production targets. And I think that trend will continue. There was a little bit of good news last month in terms of production. We saw a pickup in production from Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, UAE, and Kuwait. And that basically helped the OPEC Plus group slightly outperform the level that they were supposed to be reaching last month.
Okay, so very interesting to watch how the market absorbs the headlines there from that meeting, because again, as you say, I mean, it takes a while to crank up and down production. And it's all about, of course, in the short-term market sentiment, but in the longer term, what the actual production levels end up being. Let's look at one of the crude oil-linked currencies, and that's the Canadian dollar, which is sort of, you know, shrugged off this recent sell-off, to say the least, in crude oil prices. And you see Dollar Canada on slide 5 in my FX overview. We did see an interesting Bank of Canada meeting yesterday. So Dollar Canada was there teasing sort of the 200-day moving average, just that thick purple moving average on the chart there. Ahead of the meeting produced the 50 basis point hike that was expected to a policy rate of 1.5%. But at the end of the statement, the Bank of Canada trots out a comment that it is ready to move, quote, more forcefully if needed to get inflation under control. And between the lines, this has to mean 75 basis point hikes if necessary. So that was quite interesting. You saw Canadian short yields jump, but however, U.S. yields were also jumping yesterday, and with the U.S. dollar pulling back higher elsewhere, Dollar Canada picked itself up off the lows, and it is interacting with that 200-day moving average again, once again this morning. So very interesting test of that pair. It's one of the pairs that is most on its knees Canadian dollar is one of the currencies most aggressively stronger against the U.S. dollar for this recent run. And as I point out on the FX board, you're seeing Aussie and CAD there, or Swiss franc is a bit of an oddball, but sort of leading the pack. And I think you can link that actually more to financial conditions that I mentioned earlier and general risk conditions than you can to necessarily commodity market developments. There is some overlap there, of course, but it's very interesting to see if this which aspect of the market takes over if, for example, strong jobs data in the U.S. starts to see those yields challenging to the new highs for the cycle. And you see the Japanese yen leading the way to the downside with its minus 3.2 reading on the overall trend reading, as is due to interest rate sensitivity. All right, you've got your stocks to watch today slide back here, Peter, and a few names there. So you mentioned MongoDB quite prominently and recently. What's up in your single stock focus today?
Yeah, so we had four technology companies reporting yesterday: Elastic, MongoDB, UiPath, Pure Storage. You see this on slide 7. It's small cap companies, so in the range of $5 billion to around 20-ish. So we are talking about the tier 2 and tier 3 levels of the technology sector. And it was almost like they have read this acquire capital or benchmark capital presentations about, cut costs aggressively on marketing and R&D. The market is not rewarding revenue growth. It's about improving your profitability. And it was like these companies have all heard the message, because across the board, as you can see, shares were up 6, 9, and 10%. They all either lift their operating margins from previous guidance, or they simply came out with a fiscal year outlook on operating income that was better than where the market was priced. So I think if this is something that is going to continue moving into the Q2 earnings season, we might, at least in some pockets of this technology meltdown, have seen a bottom, because this is a major shift relative to the sentiment. And if they're able to improve their profitability fast by being aggressive and not complacent like during the dot-com period, then I think actually it's a positive sign. So have a look at those stocks. I've put in a price chart here on Elastic, which is now trading below the levels from where it was before we went into the pandemic. And then something you mentioned on the internal call as well, we had Delta Airlines yesterday saying that they see revenue now being restored to 2019 level here in the second quarter. Ticket prices up almost 30% over the summer period here in the US. But unfortunately, costs are currently outweighing demand and its pricing. So the shares were down 5%. They are a little bit under pressure there. And they seem very reluctant, just like here in Europe, to expand their capacity on the network. So but encouraging, they're basically saying they're not seeing any demand destruction yet. I think we're getting a very mixed picture across the board. There was also a survey out yesterday showing that across all income groups, millennials, more than 50% of millennials across all income groups are struggling and basically living from paycheck to paycheck. So whereas the boomer generation these figures were much lower, somewhere in the region of 10 to 20% were living from paycheck to paycheck. So I think there might be some fragility and larger pockets of weakness out in the economy. But yeah, encouraging signs anyway from Delta Airlines.
Yeah, and there was a comment that Stan Jakobsen sent out that was prompted my comments on the internal call from the United Airlines chief, saying that he saw absolutely no slowdown in consumer demand, although he was bemoaning the lack of the full recovery in business travel spending just yet. And we still have another day of earnings up today. Peter, I'd be interested to see that Hormel Foods, so one you have on your list there, just because of the input costs I imagine they're experiencing as they produce their food.
Yeah, Hormel Food is not normally a company we track. I haven't highlighted it, but now that you mention it, I probably will have a look at it later today. But I've highlighted Lululemon because it's a widely traded retail stock. It's a part of the overall trend of taking care of your own health, be healthy and active. It's a company that has grown considerably from being, all about yoga mattresses and yoga sportswear in the beginning to branching into new product lines from shoes and other types of sportswear. They're building out physical store networks. They are investing heavily across different digital channels. And all of these things are good because they're expected to grow around 25, 26% year over year for the quarter that ended in April. But as we've talked about, companies are not longer rewarded for very high growth rates if it comes at the expense of operating margins and operating income. So there will be this tug of war in this earnings release today from Lululemon between the initiatives on revenue growth, product lines, digital investment versus those rising input costs for the company. So that's the battleground as we wait for Lululemon earnings. And then Meituan, of course, in China, very big company in local e-commerce there. Have twice postponed their earnings release, but it should be a done deal today. They will report after the Hong Kong market close, so we will comment on that tomorrow.
All right, before I go to the calendar, I thought I would get your thoughts on gold here, Ola. I thought it was just a very interesting session yesterday with some divergence and developments relative to what we got from the gold price. And I looked at the gold versus euro cross, and we saw a big outside day reversal from around the $1,700 or 1,700 euro level and gold in euro terms. And again, because we're seeing higher yields, higher dollar, you wouldn't have expected gold to see a strong day. Still a heck of a lot of work to do to get in a technically interesting situation. But just if you have a thought or two on gold here.
Well, a day like that does obviously rekindle a bit of interest in the market. And as we highlighted in yesterday's update, basically, yes, we had some strong economic data just recently, just reducing the so-called central bank policy mistake risk, and that took some sting out of the rally. But I think most of all, it's markets just range bound. And it struggled at 1870 last week and come down, but the move against the euro does obviously indicate that there is some underlying strength, not only just the one that comes from the ebb and flows of the dollar. So yeah, interesting to see what today's session will bring on that front.
Yeah, and then the session's through tomorrow as we have that key data up. So, on the macro calendar overview on slide 9, you can see that we're looking at the OPEC meeting today. Of course, the ADP employment change. We never know what to do with that, but it could be very interesting if it's an outlier on the strong side or weak side. Claims. We've seen a bit of a pattern of higher claims. It's nothing to really hang your hat on just yet, but we want to watch the moving average there. And the latest supply figures from the U.S. could be interesting vis-a-vis what the OPEC meeting is delivering. And finally, tomorrow, again, all those important U.S. data points, traditionally the most important economic data of the month. And I think given that we're kind of around a pivot point here and what we're seeing in yields, I think it adds to the potential energy around that and how we finish off the week here in terms of the themes. Okay, so that's a wrap for today. And we'll be back tomorrow, of course, with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.